from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Poet and playwright Gary Soto has spent a good part of his life writing about the migrant laborers he grew up with in the San Joaquin Valley. In a new play set to run at San Francisco's Marsh Theater, Soto decided to write about the newest generation of immigrants, the undocumented students struggling to stay in school and keep their parents from being deported. We'll talk to the poet and the play's director about this new work, as well as some young immigrants trying to stay in the United States. Join us and join in. Forums next hour, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of the Forum program. Members of the Marsh Youth Theater are presenting a musical theater production beginning this Saturday and running through the 17th of February called In and Out of the Shadows, written by award-winning Mexican-American poet Gary Soto. The work presents a range of young immigrants either without document papers for themselves or none for their parents and the fear of deportation that looms in their lives as they try as individuals to do well and achieve the American dream of a good education and eventual success. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk to some of those young people that really inspired this play. And Gary Soto is here with us in studio, poet and playwright, author of 11 poetry collections, including the poem Oranges, which is required reading in many school textbooks. He wrote the play In and Out of the Shadows for the Marsh Youth Theater. And good morning, Gary Soto.
Thank you very much, Michael, for having us.
Glad to have you. I've been an admirer of your work for many years. I actually taught your stuff through the years, and glad to have you here in person. Emily Kleon is also with us, and she's director and co-founder of the Marsh Youth Theater. And the play In and Out of the Shadows, which we're talking about today, which is running at the Marsh Youth Theater on Valencia Street, was directed by her, and we welcome you to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You did not direct the play. You're a director and co-founder, but you did not direct
the play. I'm the producer and composer of the play.
Got it. Okay. Who's the director of the play?
The director of the play is Cliff Mayotte.
Ah, okay. Well, let's give him his props then.
Absolutely. He's unbelievable.
Edna Ruiz is also with us, former undocumented immigrant, now a permanent resident, actor playing Juan One. There are three characters named Juan in this play. Plays In and Out of the Shadows. Welcome.
Hello, Michael.
Hello. Good to have you here. We also have with us a young woman named Putri Siti Dayani, who is an undocumented student from Indonesia, who was interviewed for the play In and Out of the Shadows, and she is with us by phone, and we welcome you to the program. Good morning.
Morning.
Glad to have you. Very miracle-sounding voice. Let's begin, Gary Soto, with you. Yes. Actually, talk about how this came into being. I guess you had just done Novio Boy, right?
Yes. About three summers ago, the Marsh put on my play Novio Boy, and I have to say it was a hit. Every seat was taken, and I let it go by. You know, Novio Boy. It's a boy meets girl story.
Novio means fiance, actually.
Yeah. Well, Novio, Novio would be like boyfriend, I call it almost like sweetheart boy. And it was a hit. The kids were drop dead cute, and the production was first rate. And now and then I would see Emily in Berkeley. She lives in Berkeley as well. So Emily was like, Gary, let's write a new play. And I said, well, I'm not really a playwright. I'm a poet. I'm an essayist. I'm a author of books for younger readers. And he goes, no, you can do it. And apparently I did.
Yes, you certainly did. Like I said, it's got music in it. It's got dance in it. It's got some comedy and certainly some tragedy as well. It's a very ambitious play. Also, in some respects, a kind of I don't mean this word in any pejorative way, but didactic play. I mean, you want to get a feeling here of a grassroots organization and inspire people to do something, don't you?
Absolutely. I think that a previous interviewer asked, is there a message? And I would say that at the heart of this play, we have stories. And I think anytime you have a true story, something that that moves people, I think that in itself is an instruction to the audience, to the viewer.
But it's also saying there's strength in numbers because there's an attempt to organize for an assembly bill that was trying to really remove the prohibition of so-called undocumented young people from paying tuition where college is concerned. And mm-hmm. so you've got that, and they're all trying to write their personal statements, and mm-hmm. you get their stories as a result of those personal statements. You even get Skyping and Googling, and you get all kinds of things in here that are really up to date. Facebook, even get a recommendation to read Gary Soto.
It can't hurt.
And kids talking about the pollution in the Iron Triangle and the Richmond and things of that sort. I mean, there's a lot here to digest for people who want to see the play, as I hope they will. And you've also got some young people that you're working with and worked with to get their stories. And so we're talking about true stories.
Yes, I was given in June about 300 pages of interviews. The interviews were conducted by other young people and also some adults as well. And from that, I called the play, and I gave it structure. The voice was already present. I mean, you could hear the youth speak about their lives. But I had to give it structure and also think about how best to address a subject that's very, well, topical and also painful. And I decided a musical. And I knew Emily and her husband, George Brooks. It's a musical family. And I thought, well, we have to do something along the line of music and dance.
You also got the language. I mean, you know, the teen language, which was probably a whole kind of bilingual experience for you in some ways, wasn't it?
It is. I found out words like dog, D-A-W-G, is no longer in vogue. And I thought, when did it go out of vogue? I mean, did it go out with Groovy and Out of Sight? And apparently it did. And so it was an instruction for me, and some of the Spanish language that I used was kind of not hip enough, or it was too polished or too this or that. So it and I also found out about music. I mean, what young people are I thought they were still listening to Menudo. And of course, that's not our Ricky Martin, and that's not happening.
No, but you did pick up a lot of the phrasing, the idioms. You got to keep up with it sort of by being on the street almost. It just changing so all that quickly and all that rapidly. Let me bring some of the others who are here in studio with us into the conversation. And before we do that, actually, Gary Soto had mentioned that some of the interviewing was done by some of the students themselves. I'd like you to hear, actually, I just want to hear some of these voices. This is a young man we'll call Rodrigo. And before creating the musical, as was said, a number of teens were interviewed who were either undocumented or had undocumented parents. And one young man's story really stood out. That was this young man we'll call Rodrigo.
Since I was undocumented, my mom kept telling me, like, don't go outside, don't do this, or stuff like that. And then I would just go outside when I was with my cousins, because that way, like, I could, like, they could just talk for me, because they knew English and I didn't. So it was normal for me, I guess.
What do you think about when you hear the word undocumented? You just said it right now. What do you think about when you hear that word?
I feel like I think about the struggles that I had to go through. Like, at any moment, like, the ICE can just go to my house and pick me up, or I could be at a restaurant, and or my mom's job, she can just get picked up for me. And I just hope that I don't.
That was from an interview done by the Marsh Theater with a teenage student we're calling Rodrigo for the sake of his privacy. He is still undocumented, and that speaks volumes in itself, doesn't it, Emily Cleon?
Yes, it certainly does. The MYT has a teen troupe. MYT stands for Marsh Youth Theater, and we have a teen troupe, and we decided to really make the voices of the undocumented the basis of this show. So actually, Cliff Mayotte, who is the education director of Voice of Witness, which is a oral history publication of David Eggers at McSweeney's, came in, and he's also the director of the show.
Never heard him called David, by the way.
Yeah, really, that's interesting that I called him that. But anyway, Dave Eggers has a publishing company called McSweeney's, and one of his streams is called Voice of Witness. And Cliff trained the MYT teen troupe how to give an oral history, how to elicit the best answers, how to ask questions, make people feel comfortable. And we went out and interviewed kids from AB 540 clubs. Those are college kids who are college bound in City College in San Francisco, Richmond High School, also Aspire, which is an Asian immigrant group, and another group that works with Filipino immigrants. And we went out, and as soon as we put the microphone in these kids' faces, they just started to talk, and they talked very intimately. They got very close to our interviewers very quickly, and they really poured their hearts out because I think they really wanted an opportunity to tell their story. And that's why I think Gary was able to capture their essence so well, because they were very, very forthcoming. And
boy, and there are some real stories here. I mean, you know, a 12-year-old handed off to smugglers, a kid crawling through sewers. They're really heart-grabbing stories, and very troubling too, because you know what you get in a lot of these stories also are people who are frightened and terrified that the law is going to crack down on them, send them back, and they're not only living in fear, but they're also exploited. I mean, when it comes to, say, an arrest, these ruthless, unscrupulous lawyers are right there. They know who they are, and they know how to get to them. And those are all reflected. Those kind of problems throughout here. You've been at this for almost a quarter of a century, though, haven't
you?
Yeah,
I've been doing youth theater for almost a quarter of a century, that's true. And I really believe in the transformative power of theater. I just see kids get on stage and change completely in front of my eyes. And I also think that art is just an amazing way to communicate, social justice and social issues. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of the Marsh itself. We consider ourselves a First Amendment theater where people who don't usually get to tell their stories get to tell it through art and being on stage. And in this case, the youth of the Marsh Youth Theater get to join in by talking about things, telling the stories that these immigrants can't tell themselves for fear of repercussions.
Well, I remember the early days of the Marsh when Spalding Gray was there and Josh Kornbluth and the monologists, essentially, and it has grown now. I mean, with people like Charlie Varon and so forth, it's become institutionalized. You're in Berkeley now as well as in
San Francisco. We are in Berkeley. Yeah. We have Wavy Gravy's there right now, which is really a fun thing to go
kick.
See.
He's always a kick, yeah.
And Ryan Copeland is back at the Marsh in San Francisco. So we have people who have such interesting stories to tell, and that's why it's really a privilege to represent these teens, these undocumented teens, because we get to tell their stories for them.
Well, let's hear some more of their voices. This is, again, Rodrigo, we'll call him. In this part of the interview, the interviewer asks him what he wants to do with his life.
I also love history, so I see myself either in a courtroom or teaching history.
What do you love about history?
I don't know, I love the U.S. history. I took government this year, and like at the beginning, my government teacher, he gave me like a lecture on all of that.
Uh-huh.
And I just love like everything, like how the government started, how we were influenced by the Greeks and Romans. I learned all of what the U.S. has accomplished and how they've done it, like something shady, something's, you know, normal. And the funny part is I know more about this history than I know about my own history in Mexico. So
yeah,
my mom's like, tienes que saber la de México, pero at the same time she's like, I just tell her that, you know, I live in the United States. I know the United States history only.
Well, another voice from the Marsh interviews, and this has all been put into a play by Gary Soto, who's here with us in studio, called In and Out of the Shadows, which will be at the Marsh. And this is not only, Gary, you should emphasize, this is not only Latinos. In fact, you didn't want to go too overboard with Latinos. There's a lot about Filipinos in here. There's Indonesia. We'll talk with one of those young people in a moment. You wanted it more expansive.
Yes. The interviews, admittedly, were, mainly Latino-based, but I have to give credence and power to other groups as well. And so I was aware. And But also the other stories were, and some of the young people I met, even briefly, like Putri, we have her on the line. I mean, just kind of like you, I mean, they're just going to be great young people for our country. And there's no doubt about it.
So. Well, when you hear a kid talk about how much he loves American history, and Putri, let's talk to you, because you have taken some action and have become a part of Aspire and have become sort of a political activist as a result of your status as an undocumented, no?
Yeah.
So tell us about it. Tell us about, I mean, your parents were ordered out for deportation. What's the status of that now?
So what happened is that last year my parents and I reported to ICE to ask them for stay of removal because my parents' case was rejected in the last court of appeal. And then the first deportation date that they gave us was June 1st, 2012. And then they gave us another 6 months to December 31st, 2012. But over the summer, President Obama said something about deferred action, and so the deferred action for childhood arrivals came about, and I applied for that, and I was granted 2 years of staying here in the United States with working authorization, but that program does not help my parents at all. And so last month, in the month of December, Asian Law Caucus and Aspire launch an online campaign to ask ICE to stop the deportation for my family and a fellow Aspire member's family. And we gathered about 1,600 signatures, and then ICE granted my parents and my friend's family a stay here in the United States with prosecutorial discretion. And so they can stay here longer, but they don't have anything other than just allowing to stay here.
So you're continuing to really work toward your parents getting some permanent status here, as
yeah.
well as you.
Yeah.
And we also have a young man in studio with us, Adan Ruiz, who is a former undocumented immigrant, now a permanent resident, playing Juan 1 in the play. It's actually, I think it's Juan 2 who becomes a permanent resident, if my memory is right about it. I say it confusing with all the ones.
right.
You recently become a resident.
Yeah, last year, actually. Yeah, last year.
Congratulations. But it took about 10 years?
Actually, 13 years. Yeah. I came to the United States when I was 14 years old. My parents brought me and my two brothers also. We crossed the border undocumented with a smuggler. We didn't knew this lady at all. It was very, very frustrating and scared. Yeah.
But you feel a strong identity now with the United States?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, Putri wants to be a doctor. You want to be what?
Well, that's well. Actually, I'm an animal nurse.
you work in medicine.
Yes,
right.
I'm already working on veterinarian medicine. So, yeah. I mean, I love America. I respect America. It's an honor to be part of this country. Definitely, yeah.
But you know, we did a show on immigration reform yesterday after President Obama gave his speech in Las Vegas, and after a number of senators, 8 senators, 4 from each party, put forth a blueprint. And even here, in the liberal Bay Area, there's a high percentage of our calls and emails that express views very opposed to not only the reforms, but making it easier for undocumented immigrants to become citizens.
Yeah.
What would you say to those people who feel that way? I mean, they'll say to you, you're illegal. Why should you have rights if you came here, you know, as you said, snuck over the border?
First of all, I don't like to use the terminology illegal. I think undocumented will be, like, the best. I mean, I would love people to do that always. I would love them to, first of all, know the consequence. I mean, the situation of every individual and the background. I mean, we're all immigrants, pretty much. I mean, if we see our ancestors, I mean, every single one of us are immigrants. So, I mean, it's really sad how they categorize the undocumented people. Right,
have you
now.
Had people do that to you, get angry
definitely.
When they find out you're undocumented?
Yeah. A lot.
Yeah,
lots of discrimination, yeah.
And Putri, you too?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what would you say to these folks who feel, you know, that you came here not legally, and therefore you, well, some people would say, shouldn't have the rights to citizenship?
I feel like, you know, United States itself is built from an immigrant, and deporting 11 million people would be really, you know, very expensive for the country itself. And we really need is a common sense that immigration process is to recognize the contributions of aspiring citizens to this country and help us move forward.
I think that's well phrased. And what I'm going to do now is open up our phone lines and we can hear from you, our listeners, on this subject, which, as I said, we certainly tackled yesterday, but you may want to talk about just the whole phenomenon of what it means to be undocumented. I know we have many listeners who have been through that experience and who know people through that experience. And maybe the question is, how sympathetic are you? How do you feel about young people who have to struggle here? Many of them, by the way, who identify strongly as Americans, who have clear ambitions and who are good students with high GPAs, as you learn from the young people who are represented in this play of Gary Soto's. Feel free to join us in conversation here. We welcome your calls. It's toll-free 866-733-6786, and you can join us now. Again, the toll-free number is available to you, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or join us by going to our Facebook page or our website, kqed.org/forum, and simply click on the segment. Or you can, of course, tweet us, and our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Gary, what's your intention here? What do you want people to walk away with, if you could crystallize it?
I think that, we have art here and a very poignant subject of undocumented youth, and they merge together, art and an issue. And that seldom ever happens in the theater. And,
well, in literature in general, you have to have social political protest versus aesthetics or something like that.
I would like to see that, you know, how you take something very, very serious and you wrap it around art. And in this case, I think the audience is going to be dazzled by the young people in dance and song and also performance.
They're attractive young people. I mean, there's many things about them to like and so forth. But what do you say, Emily, when somebody says to you, but there are illegal aliens, you know, who came from Pluto or Neptune or something?
Well, you know, I just actually think about Putri when we had our group interview, Putri, who's on the line here, and she said, I want to be a doctor who goes into rural areas. Now, all the time I hear us saying, we need doctors in rural areas, and I thought to myself, why would this possibly be a good thing to send someone out of the country as smart and as dedicated as Putri, who actually wants to do something we need in this country? I don't see the sense of it. When we interviewed these kids in groups, we went around the circle asking, well, what are you studying? And they wanted to be engineers, environmentalists, all kinds of things, and things we need here in this country.
But I can hear somebody say, yeah, but what about the gangbangers, and what about those who are going out there and, you know, getting involved in violence and not even staying in school and so forth?
They exist, of course, but they exist documented and undocumented. Yep. I don't think we can, you know, pigeonhole these people into that group.
All right, bring your voice aboard here if you'd like. You can go to our Facebook page, our website, kqed.org/forum, or join us by email, forum@kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. That's a song from the play we're talking about, In and Out of the Shadows, for the Marsh Youth Theater, and written by Gary Soto. It is actually connected to one of the stories. A young girl is, Emily Cleon, why don't I let you tell this story? She's in the airport.
She's in the airport, and she's actually gone to Mexico to visit her family there, and people have advised her when she comes back into the United States to pretend she's a Mexican tourist, even though she's been living in Richmond for the past 5 years. So they tell her, don't speak English when you come back, just speak Spanish. And so when she gets to immigration, there are these immigration officers, this is a common trick, and they're trained really to hear a Mexican accent that's been influenced by American accents. So he keeps breaking her down until she finally does break down and speak English, you know, by talking to her quickly in English and Spanish. And in the actual, this is based on a true story. She does get across, but her mother does not get across. She's sent alone by herself, so she ends up back without her mother. And that was one of the stories we heard. And when we did a little snippet of this at a showcase, many, many immigrant parents came up to me and said, that's exactly what happened to me. I tried to pretend I didn't speak English, but they broke me down and I started speaking English. And then they knew that I was actually living here illegally.
And to use the word Gary Soto used before, there's kind of a poignancy in this, in that I'm just 14, you know, I'm a kid. And that's the song and what the song conveys. Well, let's go to our callers here. I should mention, by the way, that the playwright Gary Soto spent his life writing about migrant laborers that he grew up with in the San Joaquin Valley. And I actually brought one of your poems here, Gary. Can I just lean on you to read this? It's a poem I happen to like a lot. And then we'll go to our callers. It's called Mexicans Began Jogging.
Actually, I preface this by saying that when I was 17, I ran away from home and ended up working in a tire factory. And so the poem is autobiographical and a true occurrence. Mexicans Begin Jogging. At the factory, I worked in the fleck of rubber, under the press of an oven yellow with flame, until the Border Patrol opened their vans and my boss waved for us to run. Over the fence, Soto, he shouted, and I shouted that I was an American. No time for lies, he said, and passes a dollar into my palm, hurrying me through the back door. Since I was on his time, I ran and became the wag to the short tail of Mexicans. Ran past the amazed crowds that lined the street and blurred like photographs in rain. I ran from that industrial road to the soft houses where people paled at the turn of an autumn sky. What could I do but yell vivas to baseball, milkshakes, and those sociologists who would clock me as I jog into the next century on the power of a great, silly grin.
And you are, indeed, an American. Your parents, of course, were born in Mexico.
Grandparents.
Your grandparents, excuse me.
Abuelitos, yes.
Identifying as American, what draws you to this material? What, I mean, obviously you're in empathy with a lot of these young people who are undocumented.
I think it's the drawing power, you have to trace it back to El Movimiento, La Causa de César Chávez. And I'm from that generation. And a generation when we saw a lot of discrimination in almost every corner of life, from education, law, urban renewal to the environment.
It's also La Raza, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, the identification of a tribe.
Yeah.
Steve writes, I'm a former Oakland resident now living in Mexico as an expat for 6 years. I've met many recent deportees, including teenagers who've lived in California most of their lives. They are in culture shock, having a hard time adjusting to life in Mexico. It is sad and unfair, in my opinion. They want to go home. Another listener says, what your guest just said is the best argument against the path to citizenship. He doesn't like to use the word illegal. If we are going to have an honest conversation about the immigration issue, its related branches, and which and how to solve some of them, then we can't have the people here that are actually not citizens trying to soften or change the actual issue to make it appeal more to emotions and logic. They are not citizens. They are here illegally. And those are the right words to start the discussion with. And you say what? Adan, Ruiz. It's a very pregnant hmm.
Huh. Well, I respect every single one's words that they use, vocabulary. I don't consider myself when I was undocumented. I didn't I wasn't illegal in my, you know, myself.
In your heart.
Exactly, in my heart.
Or your
that's
soul.
The word. Exactly, yeah, because I believed on American rules. I believe on American law. I believe on the spirit of America. And I've just became another American without documents, pretty much. And that's the thing, yeah.
Okay, well said. Let me see what our callers have to say, and we begin with Lori. Lori, join us.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I came to this country with my parents illegally, and for 15 years we were illegal. And it's not as simple as, you know, when path to legalization, it's not like you're going to become a citizen tomorrow. It's a path. And after 15 years, when we were given that path, it took us another 9 years to become citizens. And now that I am a citizen, you know, I went to school in U.S. This is where I'm from. I was educated here, and I now have a good job and, you know, my family, and we're contributing to society.
Lori, where did you come from originally?
I'm from Pakistan.
Pakistan. Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now we're all here, and we're all, you know, good members of society. And I think if a path is shown, then a lot of people can become contributing members to society, and any country would appreciate that. And I just wanted to one more time say that it's a path, and that path is a really long path with a lot of paperwork, a lot of interviews, and a lot of money that you have to give to the state as in fines and to the federal government as in fines. And then if you need a lawyer, then that also is a part of the entire package.
Yeah, it certainly comes across in the play that we're talking about here, exactly what you said. And plus, it's those years, the play's title says a lot, In and Out of the Shadows. Did you feel as if you were, well, living in the shadows those years? You're having to kind of be furtive and secretive and go about your life in a almost clandestine way.
I actually was never able to even talk about this to anyone. It was probably some of the worst years of my life. I couldn't say anything to anyone. I was a good student, so that kind of hid the fact that nobody questioned it, because I had a really good GPA, and I went to a good school. I got a full scholarship. Everything was going well. And my education, my background, everything, that kind of just took the, you know, light away from this immigration part. But it was just constantly worrying that what if something were to happen, what if we got caught, what if we got caught. And you live with that fear. And the day when I pledged allegiance for my citizenship, I actually cried, because this is it, it's over, and I'm here now I'm here, and no one can take this away.
Well, thank you, Lori. Good to hear from you. I appreciate your call. And let me go to more of your calls. Sid is our next caller. Sid, join us.
Hi, Michael.
Thanks. Hi there.
For the show. It's a very good discussion that is going on these days about the illegal immigration. And also, first of all, I want to say that I have my empathy with the folks, you know, with the children who came to this country illegally, with no fault of theirs. And I think there should be a path, as the previous caller said, to the citizenship. However, I think there is so much discussion these days on the illegal immigration part. People tend to forget that there is a legal immigration also in this country. Folks who come to this country contribute well. They are already the contributing members of the society, the researchers, the doctors, the scientists, the engineers, and even they are waiting for, you know, 10-plus years to even get to the permanent residency. So I think that should be the part of the spectrum.
All right, and I thank you for certainly bringing up an important point, Gary Soto. I mean, you write about the dreamers, but there are also dreamers who came to the country fully documented and legally.
Well, we have to acknowledge that. And as the last gentleman mentioned, some are brought over because of their technical skills and their education. But, you know, also, you know, we have to go back to, like, farm working issues as well. We have farm workers that came over in the 60s and 70s to break strikes and to replace the regular workers in the fields as well. And they, in turn, you know, have skills that that are not, say, high tech or in biology or engineering or computer science, but very few people would want to embrace.
And again, Gary Soto is a poet and playwright, author of In and Out of Shadows. Let me go to more of your calls here, and I want to welcome you, Richard. Good morning.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Stunning program, as always. It's touching me on so many levels, it's difficult to figure it all into a short moment, but I'll do my best. First, I wanted to just say that my grandson and daughter, my son-in-law, his family is from Mexico. His parents came earlier part of last century and found the path and did the appropriate thing to become citizens and became the extraordinary, contributing, beautiful family that they are. This is from Mexico. It automatically makes me think that our intolerance and our speech about illegal and just the pejoratives that we put on especially our brothers and sisters who are looking for something better from Mexico. I wonder how my ancestors felt coming through Ellis Island and how others did when, if there had been a land bridge, if there was, northern European countries, my ancestors, and the northern African countries that my ancestors came, that there had been a land bridge, if they had done the same thing, and I have to say, of course they would, of course they would. So I want to caution my mostly Anglo intemperate fellow citizens when they use these words illegal and this discomforted terms about folks that if we were lucky enough that our ancestors came through channels and areas that were paths that had were created and were lucky enough to be in a certain amount of time join in appropriately to the family that this nation makes up of immigrants.
Richard, I thank you for those sentiments. In fact, President Obama just the other day spoke about all the immigrants that came through, if not Ellis Island, Angel Island, and on this coast, and so forth, and wanted to express that unless you're a Native American, you know, you have immigrants in your genealogy, or you come from immigrants to this country. But here's and I'd like to hear particularly Putri what you or Don has to say to this listener who writes. If enough people will support it, I would encourage our politicians to pass a constitutional amendment to make immigration bureaucracy unnecessary. Fire all the employees in ICE and USICE. However, the guests on the program deserve nothing other than jail. They have broken laws and deserve no rewards. If they go home first and apply to come legally, then they will be warmly welcomed. Pucci, could I go to you on that first?
Okay. First of all, to reply for the gentleman earlier who called, actually, the media has been always telling that immigration is only a Latino issue, but there are a lot of undocumented immigrants out there who are from Asia, Europe, Africa, even until today. I think one time when I went to ICE, I saw an European undocumented immigrant, and it was very surprising to me. And for to reply for the message, there's so much backlogs right now happening around the world who are trying to apply to become a permanent resident or a U.S. citizen around the world. Many families are torn apart as a result of this backlog, and because of the backlog as well, the waiting in line also causes the people to come to United States illegally or and become undocumented. So I feel like what President Obama and the eight senators didn't really, you know, give out the right answers. I feel like the right solutions for the broken immigration system right now, because they're not really talking about the real problem. They're just like, oh yeah, we are going to do some of this part, but they overlook what is really the reason or the cause of this problem that we are facing right now.
And again, Putri Siti Dioni is an undocumented student from Indonesia who was interviewed for the play In and Out of the Shadows. I want to read a few more of your emails. Janice writes, I've taught English to immigrants all my adult life. I know their plight. I've seen their successes. All ESL teachers are sympathetic. To those who can't embrace them sympathetically, I suggest they see it through a more business-like lens. We have made an investment in these children. We have put them through our school system. In many cases, we've provided free lunches. Now they are young adults ready to become part of the labor force. Legalizing them is merely getting a return on our investment. Yep. Another listener, Dick, writes on our website, progressive terminology seems to have mutated from illegal alien to illegal immigrant to undocumented immigrant to your use today of so-called undocumented student. If we push the envelope just a bit further, we can get to self-naturalized American, to self-naturalized American citizen, and even to self-naturalized American aristocrat. This is not about respect for people. I strongly support immigration reform. It's about respect for language. And Aiden writes, I'd like to point out to listeners that people from south of the United States are not the only undocumented persons in the United States, as Pucci just said. I'm from Canada. I've been here since 1998. One of my first roommates was from Spain, and he told me I had nothing to worry about, that the INS wasn't looking for me because I was the right color and I blended in. I was kind of shocked since I'd never really heard anything so racist before. Let me go to more of your calls.
Michael, may I say something about the terminology?
Let me go back to that. Sorry, I have David on the line here, though. David, go ahead.
Well, hi. Yeah, I'm glad you've got this subject today. I had read a biography of Leonardo da Vinci, and he was, as a student, he was very interested in biology, and he was actually, stealing corpses in the night in order to do gathering information about just biological structure. And so the history of students being having to live on the run is ancient. And I'm just wondering, are there studies, if you think about it, psychologically, a student is supposed to be open and soaking up information. And the idea that we would create a situation where students have to live in fear and on the run is a great trauma.
So, well, it's beyond fear and on the run. I mean, you can't get a driver's license, a Social Security card. I mean, Aiden, we're talking about all those things that you experienced, yeah?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Just having to be fearful of being exposed. I mean, it's like, and some do view that as the way criminals live, and they say illegal, criminal again. Let's talk about the terminology, Emily. Yeah. Emily, you were going to say?
I just want to say that I think the language we're talking about, when you call someone an illegal immigrant or an illegal alien, you're talking about a person. A person cannot be illegal. An undocumented person may be here illegally, but that person is not illegal. And when you call someone illegal, that is not who they are inside, as Adan said, in his heart. And I think that's why we're kind of holding the line on using terminology undocumented person, perhaps here illegally. But we really don't want to consider any human being illegal, because just by being a member of the human race, migration is part of the human history of the world. It's just what we've done since.
Would you call a criminal an illegal? Or you would give the criminal the respect for humanity by saying, I'm not going to call you an illegal?
I honestly,
even though you do illegal
a criminal,
acts.
Yes. I believe first we name the person, then we perhaps name their act, which may or may not be a legal act. But I do believe in the humanity of all people, and I think that's what this play shows so beautifully. When we did these interviews, yes, the kids talked about their undocumented status or living here illegally, but really what we heard from them is that they were teenagers, dreamers, as they like to call themselves, with pretty much the same dreams, aspirations, hopes of any other teenager. I have a teenager myself, and it's like, what am I wearing? Is it right? What am I listening to? Is it hip? Do I have a girlfriend? Do I have a boyfriend? I want to go to college. One girl just wanted to go to Paris to learn how to be a French cook.
And Gary Soto, you want a word in here?
Yeah, I do. I actually have a lot of words inside me. But one thing is that we haven't addressed is just the play itself. And we have an issue, in quotes, but no one is really responded how a play like this evolved.
Which is why they have to see the play.
They have to see the play.
It's good self-advertising.
It opens February 2nd, runs through the 17th at different hours at the Marsh in Valencia. And you're going to see some wonderful young people in dance and song and moving soliloquies. And we're going to be impressed.
And if you've just joined us, we're talking about a play that is at the Marsh Theater, and it's going to be there till the 17th of February. It opens this Saturday, Marsh Studio Theater, as Gary Soto said, on Valencia Street. It's In and Out of the Shadows, and we've been talking with Gary Soto, along with Emily Cleon and Putri Sidi Dayani, Adan Ruiz, and this is a pledge period, fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. If you'd like additional information about this radio station or how to support us, go to kqed.org and do it as quickly as you can. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll go to more of your phone calls, and let's go to Brady. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to add that I'm concerned about the fact that when people go through the normal application process for immigration, they take classes in government and our process and history, and then they are tested on that for proficiency. I'm concerned that I have a lot of friends, Latino friends, particularly from Mexico, and they have a very naive or misinformed idea of our politics and whole governmental process and participatory process. And that concerns me because they, one, have a high degree of suspicion or even paranoia of government in general, and a belief, an assumption that it is corrupt, and don't seem to understand the obligation, their own obligation to participate if they want to see change, and that they have to be patient, and that their mistrust is concerns me as future citizens, and I'm urging that maybe there still be some kind of a course that would be required.
Well, I think that's a reasonable suggestion, although I think in the case of the two young people we have with us today, Adan and Putri, I mean, you went through just regular education, right? You were exposed to the same
definitely.
Kind of civics courses, presumably, and Putri, yes?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me go to some more of your calls here, and let's go to Tolda. Good morning.
Well, good morning, sir. I used to be illegal or undocumented myself. And also, when I heard stories similar to your two friends you have, I was very sympathetic, very helpful to the people who have illegally entered or have a problem staying here. Until when it came time, I wanted to let one of them go. And I asked him politely that he has to leave. And he said he can get me in trouble unless I give him a $40,000. I told him why. He said, because he's illegal, he's undocumented, and he can get me in big trouble. And that's what it is. I, without knowingly, trying to help out someone, I got in trouble with EDD for $1,200,000. I was sued by the Labor Commissioner, Worker Comp, a court, and for 4 years, my life has been hell.
Sir, this sounds like a lot of travail and quite a story, although Irene informs me this was not what you said you wanted to talk about.
But this is not going to fix the problem either, because we see it, if what do you want us to do? Anybody crosses the border, we should be sympathetic immediately, give them the red carpet service. What they will do, they still will come. They have learned that what they do, they are going to their own business, into the landscaping, sheetrocking, painting, house cleaning, and they are making more money right now working for themselves than working for someone else.
All right. Well, you've got all kinds of people coming across the border. There's no doubt about that. And I want to just read a few more emails here and listener responses. One of our listeners writes, the parents failed in bringing their kids here illegally. There is a process if you want to become a citizen. It may not be easy, but there are rules, and people who honor the law work towards attaining citizenship. In addition, they fail their country of origin and its citizens by not putting in the work to reform the country to make it have more of the attributes they say they value. And for your guests, reality is what it is. feeling of being a citizen is just that, a feeling. I may feel that someone else's property is mine, but that doesn't correspond to reality. You're talking again about you, I think, here, Don. You feel that you're an American doesn't mean you're an American.
Exactly. All I have to say is that I came undocumented. I started high school. I graduated from high school with high honors, almost 4.0, almost.
Congratulations.
I started college as an undocumented. I went to university undocumented. Recently, last year, I got my documents. And I have to tell all of these people that America is based, the most powerful nation because our economy, because we have lots of money, we do business. So as the professor was saying from high school before, look at us as business. You already invest a lot of money giving us lunch and educating ourselves. And I consider myself very well educated in my Latino community, my Mexican culture, and the American culture. So just telling that people that and the government, just look at us that way.
I want to read one more email. This is from Nanette, who says, I live in Sonoma County. My experience with the Hispanic people here has been nothing but wonderful. They've brought with them a model of love for family. You see the whole family out on shopping trips, grocery, clothing, whatever has to be done that day, however mundane the requirement. They work long hours, often two jobs to make ends meet. They live as a whole family, sometimes two families, in smaller places, which are often very run down from the previous owner's neglect. To me, they are model citizens, though not citizens officially. The subject of gangs, criminal elements attributed to them is a very weak argument. There were these elements arriving here since the early 1900s. People accused, especially the Irish and the Italians, for their being troublemakers. When they arrived, no racial group is free of having criminals in their midst. Thank you for your program, and thank you all for being a part of this program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And if you want to be inspired, please come see In and Out of Shadows at the Marsh.
Okay.
Great
now
show.
We got promotion from everybody here of their show, and it's playing through the 17th at Valencia Street at the Marsh Studio Theater. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated, 10 to 11 in the evening. Forums produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Engineer is Danny Bringer. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.